Lexicon. Pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or manifestation, and He is God, the third member of the Trinity. His work is not to provide emotional highs or show up in glory clouds or gold dust. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Passive aggressive without the passive part. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy throwing daggers at the good. He's company man.
I thought we could have secrets around here, Todd.
There are no secrets. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Greg Gifford in studio being reminded that his Transform podcast segments are to be 11 minutes. Said the producer of the program repeatedly.
And not 12:30.
I am deeply sorry.
See, it's better to edit yourself than to have him do it. Trust me. You want to choose the words that you delete, not Jimmy. Dr. Gifford.
I trust Jimmy.
Speaking of your podcast, your masculinity podcast, which just wrapped up, was really good except for one attribute that you didn't tackle despite a friend sending you a text encouraging you to deal with. Oh, and you don't remember what I asked. It's okay. My love bank has just been depleted and you're not making me happy. Semnus.
Yeah, explain this to me.
Semnus, you seem to remember it when I texted it to you. Dignified, that a young man should be dignified, said Titus. Old men should be dignified. Everybody's supposed to be dignified. Would you consider that one of the attributes of being a biblical man?
If by that we mean respectable, other people can look at you and you earn dignity through your conduct, yeah. But if by that we mean I wear a three-piece suit, a top hat, and I have these customs and courtesies that correspond to Western life, no, I don't think that we have to be Westernized to be true biblically.
No, but okay, but I agree with that, that clothes don't make you genuinely dignified, but there are some clothes that you would say are more dignified than other clothes.
And contextually inappropriate as well. More than dignity, but now even inappropriate or sinful. Yes, of course.
Yeah, that it's maybe. Okay, we're on the clothing thing here, which everybody agrees with. There's never a disagreement about clothing, yeah, especially when it comes to going to church. Everybody's happy about it. That as you get older, presenting yourself in a way that speaks, I'm not a child anymore. Right. I'm mature. I don't chase after childish and frivolous things. It can be communicated through clothing.
I tell my students at Masters that if they want to be treated as a child, then they just should wear flat sole shoes, ripped up jeans, a t-shirt to their jobs. And over time, what they're going to realize is that people are treating them according to their dress standards, and they have to earn with greater diligence respect because they've kind of put themselves at a deficit in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you dress in a way that's not flashy, it's not distracting, it communicates a level of discipline and attention to detail, then yeah, I do think in that way, including this being true for men, that you are going to earn a level of respect simply based off the way you're carrying yourself.
So what I heard you say is wear a suit and tie to church. Did I get that right?
No, let me say it all over.
Okay, well, I'll just rewind the tape if you don't mind. All right, some of the attributes of being a biblical man, Semnus would be, there's anything that tells us how to behave really is about being a biblical man, because being a man isn't about how much you bench press. Being a man is how much you look like Jesus Christ. So wouldn't you say that really any admonition, any command imperative in the New Testament would be how to be a man?
To a degree, yes. But I would also say there are commands that are distinct for men and not for women.
All right, let's hear some.
Courageousness.
Uh-huh. The movie.
You are acting unmanly if you're not courageous.
Meaning I need to jump in front of a locomotive to stop it from hitting a farmhouse?
Meaning if you're in a circumstance and there's you and a female, not your wife, not a daughter, and you allow her to become your human shield, you're acting in a way that is unmanly. Why? Because the Lord has called you to be strong and courageous as a man. To act like a man, 1 Corinthians 16, is inherently to be courageous.
Mm-hmm. Could I, in any way, shape, or form, extrapolate that and apply that to the military?
Military service would be an expression of that. And maybe even those who were conscientious objectors to fighting and refused to carry a gun could also be an expression of courage, because combat is not the equivalent of courageousness, yet obviously it's a place where it's clearly demonstrated.
All right, but what I was getting at is, should it be the men that go marching as to war?
Ooh, this is a dicey one.
I don't think so.
Should it be that the men are the only ones who can go?
No.
That's what you're asking.
Okay. But
are you saying
to be clear, so that somebody doesn't try to make the argument by the exception, can women serve in support of? Absolutely. Should they be the ones on the front line taking the bullets? No. That's dude work.
My opinion on that, and people have asked me about this as a veteran, is that whatever the qualifications are for infantry,
mm-hmm.
if a woman decides to apply for the infantry,
mm-hmm.
then the same requirements for a man mm-hmm. should be applied to a woman,
mm-hmm.
and she should be given that opportunity to fight. Does that mean that she has to or should? No, it doesn't. But it means that if she would like to pursue that, she can. There's nothing that inherently disqualifies her from the infantry.
Well, being skilled, but we're talking about from a Christian perspective, should men be okay with women going out and taking the bullet?
Women and not them? No. So let's
them and women.
Let's distill it down. We're in our house. We hear a window smash. Who is the one that should get up and go check what smashed that window? The male is the one who should get up.
Okay.
And if you're like, okay, I'll wait here, honey, while you go look. If I said that to my wife, you go check it out and let me know. I am acting in a distinctively unmanly way.
Right. All right. So that's the lesser. The greater would be a nation. Somebody smashes the window on the country.
Who has to go.
Should go.
Sure. If you're using that as should, then yeah, I would say yes. Then there's a draft that takes place, or a voluntary enlistment, and men go.
Okay, because we were very close to having a disagreement, you and I. And you know what that means, don't you?
We must be enemies.
And I'd have to blog nasty things about you.
Don't worry. Wait till the next Transform podcast comes out. Jimmy, take care of it.
I'm going to help you.
That does tend to be a bit of a prevalent challenge in the evangelical blogosphere world, that we can lovingly disagree on things.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, wait, you know, okay.
The women
okay,
at
okay. Oh, no, no. Okay, biblical counselor, man. When we see people online that get rather, well, let's just say snarky toward another Christian over what is a secondary or tertiary issue, what's going on? What's the issue that is causing somebody to be kind of divisive, if you will?
Do you believe that social media is the best place to express disagreement, number one? I personally don't think it is. It's such a concise word count. There's no nuance. It's two statements, and often people don't want to hear nuance. So number two, what's going on? Maybe just the lack of awareness, lack of communication skills, maybe just the personal irritation towards that topic, and they're taking it out on you. I mean, honestly, like, you're probably more well-versed in receiving some of those criticisms than I am on what you believe to be the contribution of the heart there.
Well, I think you're right about social media playing a big role in it, because let's just, most likely, for instance, you're going to podcast over there about the role of women in the military. I'm going to podcast over here, and we're kind of coming at it maybe slightly different and being clear on some words like should or would. And I don't know you, so what do I do next week? Ginsu knife you, because I don't know you. And I think that we're set up to, I think social media is a lot like cable news. It's just set up for the fight. Mm. And so I think social media does contribute a lot to that, because now, having said that, I do believe that there is a danger of compromising when you do get to know somebody.
Agreed. You're overly eager to maintain the unity and unwilling to actually speak something that's truthful. And you can put your finger on the text in the Bible and say, this is why this matters.
Mm-hmm. So relationship is important, but at the same time, you do have to be a little bit careful that the relationship doesn't supersede right and speaking truth and maintaining your position.
Yes. And one of the things that I think is also important is, do you have a rubric for what you're willing to disagree about and what you're willing to overlook? Because there, if you just are going to disagree about every minor opinion that you have and someone else disagrees with, honestly, I think you're going to be in battle the whole time.
Yeah, you're going to be A.W. Pink.
Really? Was he a...
Oh, yeah.
One of those?
Yeah, and it's interesting because he's great to read,
yeah,
but he had no friends and he didn't belong to a church because he couldn't find a church that was good enough. And I don't want to be A.W. Pink in that regard.
But on the other side, we have to know there are certain absolutes of our faith that are worth disagreeing about.
Absolutely. But you got to know the difference. Dr. Greg Giffert, the host of Transformed, the TV show, and the podcast, which I commend to you. We will continue talking like men next on Wretched Radio.
All right, folks, get ready. Grab yourself a comfortable chair, a box of tissues, and get ready to go on a bit of a roller coaster ride, because that's what's going to happen if you pick up Safely Home by Randy Alcorn, a book that's been making even the toughest men cry like babies who drop their ice cream. Safely Home will challenge your faith, it will question your comfort, and it will make you reconsider how you view the lost. It is a straight-up sucker punch with hard-hitting questions like, are you ready to suffer for your faith? Are you ready to die for it? Yeah, it's that intense. And don't take my word for it. You can actually read a sample right now in the Wretched store at wretched.org. And remember, when you purchase the book, tissues are not included, but they are heavily recommended. Seriously, stock up. Grab your copy right now of Safely Home by Randy Alcorn at wretched.org and get ready to have your faith strengthened like never before. Just don't say we didn't warn you. Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me tell you just how this ministry is going to be changing lives later this year. With your help, meet Dr. John Krotz, one of the new powerful voices who will soon be joining this ministry later in the year. Dr. Krotz is a pastor at Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia. He holds a doctorate of ministry from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dr. Krotz has also authored several books, including Graciousness, Tempering Truth with Love, and of course, Loving the Church. His work focuses on theology and pastoral care, helping believers grow in their faith and their love for the church. And your support can help bring more voices like Dr. Krotz to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign, which is happening right now. You can visit wretched.org/fellows to see how you can partner with us, and together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is an epistle. Epistles are letters written to the church at large or to a specific church, which contain doctrine, theological arguments, and practical application. God uses first century correspondence to deliver his timeless truth.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, wait, the Masters University, the Masters Academy International, could it possibly be? This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Greg Gifford of the Masters University. Any relation to the Masters Academy International?
Absolutely. Closely connected.
Closely connected because the Masters Academy International, down the street from Masters U, you guys are in,
Newhall?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
But give me the bigger city that it's
Santa
near.
Santa Clarita.
That's what I thought I was going to say, Santa Clarita. Right. All right. Well, the Masters Academy International, they're actually housed at Grace Community Church with the Masters SEM. Well, that's where they're located. Trust me. I've been there.
I trust you.
Didn't you get invited? I'm sorry to hear that.
You know what? It's probably in the mail.
Yeah, probably. They give you really nice pens. Really nice pens. I think it's that ballpoint thing that MacArthur and Lawson have going on about writing out their sermons.
All right.
It's kind of a little cultish, but that's what it is. So at the Masters Academy International, you don't know this. We're trying to send 10,000 MacArthur study Bibles to the Philippines. Did you know that?
I did hear that, actually.
Oh, cool. So we're getting really, really close. So if and you can perhaps get us to 10,000 or even more, the MacArthur study Bible distributed to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines who are in good churches, but they can't afford a study Bible, we would like to bless them. If you can participate in that blessing, visit wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible. Talking about, and this, it just seems, can you think of three more qualified individuals to talk about masculinity than Greg Gifford? You know, this is a really bad idea. This is a really
you
bad
already put me in it.
Idea. All right. You did a wonderful series on your podcast about biblical masculinity. Being courageous is one. Here's another one that stuck out to me. Hard work. That's a godly attribute of a man.
And not only is it a godly attribute of a man, I'm going to say, okay, think of manhood 13 and up. So we're not just talking about once you turn 18, you learn hard work. That you're acting in a way that is unmanly when you are being lazy, because laziness means that you're now depending on others to provide for you. And you should be able to eat your own bread, to use the biblical term. Eating your own bread, working hard so that you can provide not only for yourself, which is, it's pretty basic for a male. You should be able to provide for yourself. But the Lord uses men to not only provide for themselves, but to also provide for others. So that man should feel that they're at step one, ground level zero, when they're able to provide for themselves. But their call is to not only provide for themselves, but to provide for others that are around them.
Now, you said something on your podcast that caught my ear, because I suspect some people went, hey, pal, that number is arbitrary. You said something like, you're 20, you're 22 years old, and you're relying on mom to deal with, like paying the bills or doing adulting. You say you ain't acting like a man. You going to stick by that?
Yes, I will. I will hold fast to that one. I actually think that by the age of 22, if you haven't learned how to work hard, you're cruising for a bruising, mister, because you're not going to snap into it at 23 and 24. And if you're not careful, you're going to develop a character trait of being lazy that's going to be, apart from God's Spirit changing you, you will be a lazy man. So yeah, I'm very comfortable saying that.
Yeah, help me out with this, because it's something that I've been working on. I'm going to be speaking to a group of young people, and I'm trying to articulate that a young man hears these biblical truths, and it's like, yeah, got it. How do you encourage them to, no, commit to it. So get up in the morning. Don't sleep in until 2 in the afternoon. Start doing stuff, because that is the godly way, and you will be blessed and you will grow and you'll become more like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How do you persuade a young person things like, look, you need to be a member of a local church. No, articulate the mindset that should desire that. You tracking with me?
I think I am. You tell me after I attempt to answer this if I'm tracking. I always appreciate when a person starts off with the biblical case and they paint it not in a thou shalt or else you will, but a vision of the good life. So start with the portrait of where do you want to be when you're late 30s? You want to be living at home? Do you want to be dependent on mom and dad to provide for you? Is that what really excites you? I mean, fundamentally, no, most men are thinking in high school years, early college, like, I want to be standing on my own two feet. I want to be a provider for my household to whatever degree that looks like. I want to be independent for sure. Own a home, be able to provide for cars to my home. Okay, well, if that's what you want, then I can say that's what God wants for you. Not in a materialistic way, but God wants you to be a hard worker and a provider in that way. So instead of me saying, y'all are a lazy generation. This generation they're just lazy. They don't know how to work hard. I honestly think the young men are gone. Like, you've just lost all of them. But if you say, you know what? The thing that you want is actually what God wants in this. And doing it the way that he has prescribed by honoring him through his word is the means to getting that level of independence, which comes from working hard, bearing the yoke in your youth.
That's exactly the direction that I'm thinking. Also, the willingness to commit to it for the long term. Because I think most of us would prefer a quick fix. So, okay, I'll work hard on Monday. I didn't get a raise in the corner office on Tuesday. No, just commit to it because it's the right thing to do. It's the godly way to live. And ultimately, you'll see the fruit sometime. But it's the, I got to have it immediate or I quit.
Yes, this generation almost has to be coached. And I find this generation to be receptive. And I'm talking about high school, college. That's typically where I'm teaching. This generation has to hear that your first job is not the place that you most likely dreamed of. You're going to work in your first job and do things that you didn't anticipate. And the reason you went to college or trade school or learned to craft is so that you could continue to move to that more enjoyable position and more enjoyable. So your first position is not going to be the one you dreamed of. Reverse engineer. When you turn 30, at the age of 30, you can potentially have your dream job or start in your dream field, but there's 10 or 12 years of grinding.
It's just gonna take some time.
Slogging it out.
But you'll grow weary and you're going to throw in the towel if your motive is, oh, I'm just going to be able to have the stuff that I really dig. Well, no, that's not going to help you to create endurance. It's got to be, I'm committed to doing things God's way.
I agree.
I tend to think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man, and it shows you follow the statutes, you think on God's word, and look at all the fruit that not so the ungodly. And I find, especially for Christian young men and women, well, yes, I do have my foot in the precepts of God, but I still go to the university. And you think that you've got a foot in both worlds when the reality is no, you actually have 2 feet in the unbiblical world. You've got to have both feet planted, committed. I am going to do things God's way, trusting he knows better than I do.
Yes. Committing your way to the Lord.
Oh, look at that, a Bible verse.
To the Lord.
Look at you. I think you're a biblical counselor or something. All
commit
right.
Commit it.
All right. Another word that describes a biblical man I thought was rather interesting. Chivalry, honoring women. Was a term that you used to say, that's what a biblical man is.
Yes.
Are we talking about pulling out the chair, the opening the car door?
Yes, maybe, depending on how they relate to you. So my basic thesis in that episode was to say, look, you have to identify who this lady is and how she relates to you. And after you've done that, you then treat her accordingly. And there's two general categories. It's as a sister or as a mother. So I'm going to treat you like I would my own sister, or if you're older than I am, I'm going to treat you like a mother. So yes, there are times when I'm opening doors, I'm holding bags, I'm grabbing a jacket or sharing a jacket. And then there are times whenever I'm holding back on doing those things because I don't want to miscommunicate, hey, I'm not going to give my jacket to a total stranger lady, and I don't want to give off the wrong impression. But in the end, my goal is to act honorably to all women. And as a man, I see that it is a special duty that I have. God has given me the strength he has given to us as men to protect women and to honor them, not to exploit them and or use them.
So you're going to a door and you see a woman coming behind you. You open it and she says to you, Do you think I need the help of a man? Are you going to insist she go through it, or will you walk through it and say, my bad?
Yes, every time I would choose the latter, I would say, my apologies. I wanted to simply show honor to you, but you do what you feel is best.
And leave it at that. But most women, your contention is most women, if it isn't done with a, well, let me take care of that for you, Toots.
That's right.
They're going to probably appreciate it.
I have yet, and I know my experience is not authoritative, but I've yet to experience a circumstance where me or my boys open a door for a lady and she say, how dare you?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've just never experienced that.
No, and you probably won't, because that's what it means to be a biblical man. Dr. Greg Gifford, the Transform podcast, I commend it to you most heartily. And don't miss Transform, the TV show. It comes with a study guide for Sunday school and youth groups. Dr. Gifford, thank you very much. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.